Please take your Bibles when you go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3, and we are starting in November our new series. We've gone through several series on Sunday nights. Every beginning of the month, we change it into a new aspect of our theme, Greater Works Than These. And we read out of that passage here this morning in John chapter 14, and we understand that Christ said we will do greater works than these, and speaking of some of the works that he did there, and really not greater in how big they were, because there's none of us are going to walk on water. However, the scope of our ministry, and that's what we're looking at here. And so we're taking a look at different aspects that we can see Christ do a work in. And we've seen ranging from hands to the hours, the house of God, hope, the heart, harmony, humility, several different things that we can say, Lord, we want to see greater works in this area of our life. Tonight, we're looking at another one here, and it starts in chapter 3, verse number 1 of Proverbs. The Bible says this, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Well, my favorite verses are coming up right now. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 7 says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones." Verse 9 says this, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine." And then look at verse 16. It says this, "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor." The next subject that we're going to be looking at in November is the idea of honor. Honor. We hear the word, but we don't quite understand. Often we will bring someone up and we'll honor them. Last Sunday for our anniversary, you, such a gracious church, honored myself and my wife with just tremendous gifts. Things that really I don't think I deserve, but I appreciate them. But what does it mean to truly honor something or someone? The definitions from Webster's Dictionary is this. Honor is a respect or a reverence given to those who are worthy of admiration. It's a respect or reverence, not to anyone, but to those who are worthy of admiration. And Proverbs chapter 3, as it begins to outline, as it begins to unfold here, we begin to see that honor is taking place. It is one of the things he's trying to instill into his son. If you don't know much about the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is a compilation book. It's not a book of it's not a book that was handwritten by one author. It was as a compilation of several wise texts. The beginning part is a father to a son, Solomon to his son Rehoboam. There's other writers in this book. We know of King Lemuel. He's one of the writers in this book. We see him towards the later chapters. We know that some of these phrases are taken just wise sayings that you would hear around Israel. But each one of these proverbs or wise sayings were meant to instill some virtue in the Christian's life. here as we take a look at chapter 3, we see that he begins going into some things. Verse number 1, he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Here, just like a father would do to his child. Please listen. Listen to the wisdom that I have. Listen to what God has allowed me to go through so you don't have to go through it. One of the things my mom used to always tell me, she goes, "I have been there, done that, and I got the t-shirt." Or she would say, she said, what was the other thing you used to say to me? Something like that. But she'd always have these little quips about being there. "I've already done that. I'm well ahead of that." And some of you parents, you understand that when your children are going through stuff, you go, "I know exactly what you're going through because I remember doing the same thing." Here, Solomon is trying to get the heart of his son Rehoboam. Rehoboam is to be king of Israel. And he's trying to, he's pleading to him, "Son, don't forget these commandments. Don't forget what I'm teaching you. This is important." And in this, we begin to get down towards the middle of the chapter, and he says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase." Oftentimes we read that. What's the first thing we think about when we read that verse? Money. We think, oh, pastor's going to be talking about money. On the contrary, honor is not necessarily just about money. And really, we're going to take a look at the context of this chapter. He's mentioning blessing and substance, but it's not substance of your wallet. We'll see that in just a moment here. But as we get into honor, I really want to shine a light on what honor is, the way God sees it. First thing here, honor is shown in the first fruits. We see that in verse number 9. He says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Now, we say first fruits and we think a farmer with his crop, don't you? As a farmer begins to maybe set up apple trees in an orchard and he's got them all set up and they begin to grow. And then, oh, there's an apple and he begins to see that. Here, it almost gives the idea of those first yieldings that come from that tree belong to someone you honor. But really, what's the tree's purpose? To give all it has. And so the first fruits are just the beginning, but all belongs to the farmer. Is that correct? He doesn't keep some of those fruits on that tree to sit there and rot. He takes them all. And here, as we take a look at this, he says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase." Of all thine increase, meaning the increase that you have spiritually, meaning the increase that you have physically. You understand, as your young people begin to grow up physically, they need to honor the Lord with their physical attributes. I remember my pastor, he would always say, we need to get some young men to start picking some things up and helping around the church. And Brother Rivas, he's been teaching on that, and I've been seeing some of the young guys come, and you see them automatically. They're running, they're grabbing the books, and they're bringing in their, they're fighting some of Brother Jude and Brother Gladstone. Normally, they normally do it. They're fighting them off, they're boxing them out, so they don't get the books. Hey, but that's good. It's, our young people need to learn. We've got strength, let's use it. Not only that, but wisdom. You begin to see people that begin to grow in grace and God begins to teach them things in the Bible. That's not something you just sit on. honor the Lord with the first fruits. Hey, give of that. Use that. God begins to work on somebody, and maybe they begin to develop a voice. Me, 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 me. And they begin singing like Brother Jude does all the time. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. Give of that voice. Don't let that voice sit in the pew and do nothing. Let's have that voice give praise to God. And yes, coming to finances, as God blesses us with money, that goes with it. What does it say? Jesus said this on the Sermon on the Mount: where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Many of you that have purchased a home, and you begin to work on that home and do different things on that home, or maybe you invest in something else, and you're working on that thing, and you give so much to that. You know where your heart's at when you leave it on that investment. Why? Because you've given so much. That's why he says, honor the Lord with the first fruits. The first fruits doesn't necessarily mean just the beginning. He wants it all. But the first fruits are the start. That's the start. You think of first. When I was a child in elementary school, you were feeling pretty special about yourself if you made it first in line. And you stand there, and this, the guy behind you, he's all bitter, and he goes, first is the worst, second is the best. You know, and then they finished the rest of that song, that hymn of the faith. During birthday parties, who gets the first piece of cake? Birthday boy or girl. Why? It's honor. When we have a special guest and we have a potluck or something, what do? We like to bring them to the front of the line, and we say, "Oh, we want you to go. We want you to go first." Why? Honor. Would you take your Bible for a moment and go to Matthew? Matthew chapter. It just hit me here. Oh, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. But seek ye, what's that word there? First, the kingdom of God. Okay, first over what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God over what? Seek ye first over your life. You see, because there's a contradiction between your life and the life that God wants for you. You see, the contradiction is, I want what I want, and I want it now. Don't we feel that way sometimes? And when we don't get it, you know what happens? Says, you'll give what you need to give in my time. That is a contradiction there. And so we seek ye first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Who sits on the kingdom of God? God, the kingdom. So he's in control, right? So I'm supposed to choose him over me because I know he's in control. says here, look. And all these things shall be added unto you. What things is he talking about? Well, if you go back to verse number 25, he says this. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, not yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? What is he talking about there? All your necessities. Meat, drink, raiment. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and you know what? He'll take care of all the other things you need. He never said the things you want. Because sometimes the things we want get in the way with the things God wants. Remember David? David wanted to be so proactive. And at the end of his life, he said, you know what, I need to number all my troops. I need to kind of get an idea of what I'm working with. And God said, don't do it. And yet David, in his own idea, so he knows the type of army he has, so he has the idea of the host that he can run with, he decides to number the army. That's not what I wanted. Our ways tend to give away, don't they? First fruits means they're yielded up to God. That's where the honor starts. But our natural inclination, we're in Matthew chapter 6. Would you go over to Matthew chapter 8 for just a moment? What we naturally want to do is this. Matthew chapter 8, look at verse number 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto the master, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of the disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer, what are those next two words? Me first. Our Christianity is, in modern day, is me first Christianity. We come to church and we're more worried about how it looks. What type of programs, or how good is the choir, or is there something that appeals to me? We don't look, is this where God wants me? Is this where God's going to root me? Is this where he's going to build me for his service? I was talking to a gentleman yesterday. We were just discussing the differences between the Independent Baptist Church versus other churches, and I told him, I said, you know, I would never look down on, for instance, we've got some community churches in there. I would never look down on them because they teach the Bible. However, I think the one thing that separates us from them is that our goal is not to entertain us. Our goal is to glorify him. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not judging anyone. But I want, as a Christian, I want to be challenged to do more for Christ. Can you imagine if Paul was never challenged? Paul, we're gonna disciple you. Some of the disciples are gonna teach you about the Word of God. And he sat there and went, man, this is great. I'm gonna stay here in the Church of Jerusalem forever. do you know where Christianity would be today if that happened? Now, God wouldn't allow it. He would have found someone else to be. Can you imagine if Paul just said, this is great. I'll just stay here forever. Maybe I'll teach a Sunday school class, and that's about it. No, he was challenged. He was motivated to do more. It wasn't me first. It was him first. I gotta move on here. Go back to our text here, and I'll wrap it up here in about 5 minutes. Second thing we see here is in verse number two, it says this: for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Look at verse number 16. It says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Verse number 18 says, she is a tree of life. Verse number 22 says, so shall they be life unto thy soul. The second thing we need to know about honor is not simply an action, it is a life. If you're a Christian here, would you raise your hand? All right. By that hand raised admission, you are not just simply to have actions of honor towards Christ, you are to live honor towards Christ. 2 Timothy, would you turn there? 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 21. 2 Timothy 2:21, he says this: if a man therefore purge himself from these, speaking of vanity and lasciviousness and different things like that, he says, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You know what he's telling Timothy there? Hey, Timothy, if you would separate yourself from all these things that the world is pulling on you and really getting you to say, me first in life, Demas having forsake me, having loved this present world, he loved the world over choosing the kingdom of God first. And he says, Timothy, if you can separate yourself from some of these, you will be a vessel of honor. I have my wife, I think it was last year or something, they got me a mug, a coffee mug. On that mug it says, I love my daddy. And it's one of my favorite mugs because it's really big and I can get a whole bunch of coffee in there. And that way I can wake up drinking my gallon of coffee and I'm good to go. But I love that mug. When I clean that mug out and I put that to the side, that mug is specifically for me. That's Daddy's mug. Jesus Christ has picked us up out of a miry clay. He has set our feet upon a rock. And he has sanctified us. You serve a specific purpose for Jesus. My mug is just for me. My toothbrush is just for me. No sharing. There are certain things that are just mine. And they're set apart for just me. Here, Paul's telling Timothy, be set apart. Be different. Live this life. Because you'll be a vessel of honor. Jesus Christ. Hey, Christians, we need to start living a honorable life to Jesus. Why? Because Revelation chapter 3, verse number 11 says that he is worthy. Chapter 5, verse number 21 says that he alone is worthy. He's worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. And if he's worthy of that, That means that I must honor him. That lip service is not going to do. Lip service only goes so far. In fact, lip service may impress people, but it never impresses God. Faith without works is dead. And the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please him. And so we must not just live an actions of honor towards God. We must live a lifestyle of honor. And in this, you see the context here. It's not simply talking about money. We see verse number 2, he talks about length of days and long life. Verse number 5 and 6, he's talking about a lifestyle. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is another way of saying honor the Lord. Verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy first fruits. These are all actions that he's talking about over a lifetime. He's not just talking about your money. He's talking about your life. Lastly, honor brings blessing. We know, number one, that honor is from your first fruits, but we know, number two, that honor is shown in a life. Number three, honor brings blessing. Look at what it says here in verse number 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I hear a lot of preachers say that if you give to God and you honor him with your money, he's just going to explode your barns. You're going to have new wine and your barns are going to be full. Is that really what he's saying there? Is he saying that you're really going to make it rich if you honor God? Did Paul honor God with his life? Where was Paul in the last days of his life? In jail. All by himself. Did Job honor God? The Bible says Job was a man who feared God and eschewed evil. Did Job honor God? Job had to go through some rough stuff. Prosperity gospel is hurting Christianity. The realness of it is that even though things are horrible, God is always good. Oh, your barns, you may go in there and not find a thing, but somehow you get fed. You may go to the wine cellar. By the way, we shouldn't have wine cellars, but you may go to the wine cellar and looking for some wine, and you find, oh, there's something to drink still. I always think of that lady, that widow, that Elijah, when he passed through, he said, every time you look in that cruise, there'll always be a little bit of oil there. That lady. It was never overflowing, was it? But every time she needed it, it was always there. It was always there. Here he's saying, look, your substance, it's going to feel as though it's overflowing. You're going to see the wine presses. And by the way, this is an example of joy in the midst of difficulty. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But not only that, what's that verse that we always teach children? Brother Reyes, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, that verse that we always teach our children. Mom, you know that verse we always teach our children? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy mother and father. Isn't that the verse we always teach? What's the promise that goes with it? That it may be well with me, and he stretches life. You notice what verse 2 said? Length of days, long life. Verse 16, length of days, long life. What are you saying? I'm going to live to be 100? Now, that's not necessarily what it means, but what it's saying is that God will extend your days. Why? Because instead of living foolishly in certain areas, we have lived wise, and God has spared us from a shortened life. Length of day, that's a promise. Hey, children, obey your parents, honor them, because it will be well with you, and you'll have a length of days. Why is that? Because if your children obey you, and when you tell them, don't go out in the street, they're not going to get hit by a car. When they obey and honor you, when you say, stay away from alcohol and drugs, and they don't OD or pass out somewhere and get hurt. Hey, length of days. It's amazing how that works that way. There's always the blessing. Always. Church, as we give to God. Remember Paul, he was talking to the church in Philippi, and he said, my God shall supply all your need. Why did he tell them your need? Because he was trying to get them to give to him so he can continue on with the ministry. And he said, hey, if you give, understand God is going to supply your need. That widow woman that we were talking about, Elijah met her, and she said, I'm gonna make these, I got a little bit of cornmeal and these two sticks, I'm going to bake them and die. What did Elijah say? Give them to me first. Honor. And shortly after that, she received a tremendous blessing. There's always blessing. Understand, it starts with our first fruit. That's just the beginning. Then understand that it's not just actions, but it's a life. And as we honor God, understand, He always attaches the blessing to us. Always. Honor is an amazing thing as we lift it up to God. As we go through, we're going to look at different avenues of honor. You understand that honor doesn't belong simply to God. He allows us to show that honor to others as well. We'll be taking a look at that in the next a few weeks here. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for this.